Amen, amen, amen. All right. Hey, guys. Well, we are in part 8 of our series called Supernatural. And if you've been around here for the last 8 weeks, really, we have been in this series since the beginning of the year. And I really feel like God called us to be in the book of Acts and in this series called Supernatural for the entire year. And so, man, we're just now getting into Acts chapter 4, okay? And we've been in this for 8 weeks now, so it's going to be so much fun. I believe today, this is one of those messages, I'm not going to lie to you guys. Like, this message came to me so fast, okay? Sometimes my messages take 3 or 4 days to write. This was one of those ones that's like that movie, Bruce Almighty, right? You know what I'm talking about? You got Jim Carrey, and he's just like, on the keyboard. That's how I felt about this one. This one just kind of like happened super fast. And so it's just one point, and I really feel like God wants me to nail this point down today. And then we're going to pray and get out of here. But I'm telling you, if you get this, it will change your life. And more importantly, it will change somebody else's life. Amen. The title of the message today is Uncommon Boldness. I want somebody to say that. Say, uncommon boldness. Man, we don't want to have just common. We don't want to be common about telling people about Jesus. We don't want to be ordinary. But man, I want to live in the supernatural, extraordinary power and boldness of God in my life. And so I'm excited to get into this. And I'm really piggybacking right off of last week's. If you didn't watch last week's message or you weren't here, it was all about the lame beggar that was outside of the gate. And Peter and John go up to him and they say, hey, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. And this man gets up and walks. And so they just finished this healing of the lame beggar outside of the beautiful gate of the temple. And you know, this man is jumping up and down. He's praising God. And he was causing a real scene now, okay? This is the problem. It's causing some issues. The people are gathering around, okay? And you got to remember, too, that this isn't just like a small gathering area. This is like a very busy, busy area in Jerusalem, okay? Like, anybody ever been to Times Square before? You been to Times Square? Let me see. Anybody? Okay. My wife and I, for our one-year anniversary, we stayed in Times Square. Like, was it a mistake? Probably, you know? But it was a lot of fun. We had a great time. There's pizza on every corner, you know? It's a blast. You get some spicy hot dogs, like, right around the corner. It's fantastic, you know? But every time you go into Times Square, there's always these, like, groups of people that will crowd around. And there's, like, some performer dude that's doing these cool dance moves and, like, doing all these flips and everything. And there's, like, massive crowds around, and they'll, like, give them tips and stuff. This is what I feel like is happening outside of the temple and in the temple. It's like, this dude just got saved. He's jumping around, praising God, like, doing backflips for Jesus, you know? Like, He's been lame for 40 years, you know? He's, like, going to use his new legs that he has now, you know? Like, use them, put them to use, you know? And so it's a very, very busy, busy area. And so Peter gets up to speak in front of this whole crowd, and he says, hey, guys, it wasn't us that did anything. It was the power of God. It was Jesus, the name of Jesus, that healed this man, not because of anything I did. And he gives this gospel message about how Jesus was crucified, and then he was raised again. And he says it too. He's like, hey, Jesus that you guys crucified, you remember him? The one that you put on the cross? Yeah, that guy. It was by his name that this dude was healed. So good job, y'all. You know? Really, that's how he talks to them. It's crazy. And it says, and we were witnesses of all these things, his resurrection from the dead. And then he calls them to repent and to believe in Jesus. But here's the problem. It wasn't just the people that were gathering around and listening. Now you got some other people that are gathering around too. Some of the priests in the temple are gathering around to listen. Some of the people that were in charge start to come up, and they're not really liking what they're hearing. It says the chief of the temple starts to come up here, and he's like, hey, I don't really like what I'm hearing right now. And so what they do is they arrest Peter and John. They stay in prison all night, and then this is what happens. This is where we pick up. In Acts chapter 4, 5 through 6, it says, on the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who are of the high priestly family. Now, I just want you to remember this, okay? Just remember the high priestly family and all of the important noble people that are here, okay? Just remember that. That's going to be important in a minute. Verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, by what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, just remember that, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. What does he do? He gets up in front of all these important people and he says, salvation comes through Jesus only. Amen? Come on, somebody. Not through good intentions. It's not through good vibes. It's not through good deeds. It is by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone that salvation has come to this earth. It's through belief and faith in the name, the powerful name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. And Peter said all of this filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness, I love it. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Imagine you just spent all night in jail. Okay, you get arrested for talking about Jesus. You spent all night in jail. And you know that the next day they're going to bring you in front of all these important people. Like, you know this is going to happen. All these people that you've looked up to, the high priest, all the noble people, he's going to bring you, you're going to be brought in front of all these people, and you're going to have to answer for the things that you've done and said. He had all night to think about his response, all night to think about what he was going to say. Maybe I should just chill out a little bit, you know? Maybe I should not speak so boldly about this Jesus, you know? He's one of my best friends, but man, I also got to get out of this prison, you know, so I can tell more people about Jesus. So maybe I should chill out a little bit. Maybe I should back off, or maybe I could say this and that would get me out, but still be faithful to Jesus, you know? But he's remembering the times that he denied him three times, you know what I'm saying? So he's thinking all this through. No, listen, that's not what it says. It doesn't say Peter, with great planning and forethought, said this. That's not what it says. It doesn't say Peter, filled with knowledge and understanding, said to the people. No. It says Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said that salvation comes through Jesus alone. And he was bold about it, y'all. See, sometimes I feel like we let our lack of knowledge stop us from telling people about Jesus, right? You ever felt that way? I don't know enough to tell somebody about Jesus. I don't know the right Bible verses, or I don't know the right things to say, or I'm not really sure how to say it or when to say it, or, you know, should I send a text or like invite him to coffee or like just, you know, invite him to church? I don't really know how to like share my faith or anything like that. Listen, you don't need to be filled with the right words. You don't need to be filled with charisma or charm or whatever you feel like you need. You don't need to be filled with theological textbook knowledge. Guys, you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? That is primarily what you need in order to be an effective witness. What did Jesus say to his disciples? He said, wait in Jerusalem and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. We've been talking about this. What's the power for? And you will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The power that you receive by the Holy Spirit is for you to be an effective witness for Jesus. The boldness that you get doesn't come from you. It comes from God. You need that boldness. So you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And it's a 2-for-1 special, by the way. Did you know that? I love a good 2-for-1 special. I love a good BOGO deal, right, somebody? Come on, ladies. Amen. Come on, I know y'all be shopping on that Amazon. You see a BOGO deal at Hobby Lobby or Michael's or Target, whatever it might be. You get that gift card back after you spend $100. Come on now. It's a 2-for-1 special. Not only does the Holy Spirit give you the boldness to speak up, but he also gives you the script. He gives you the words to say. What did Jesus tell his disciples to? He said, don't worry about what. He said, you're going to be persecuted. He literally told them, you're going to be brought before the Sanhedrin, before the high priest, before all these people. Do not worry about what you're going to say when you get there, for the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. Oh my goodness. Some of y'all need to hear that today. You're so worried about what you're going to say when you get into that conversation with that coworker that doesn't believe in Jesus. You're so nervous about when should I approach that family member that doesn't believe in God? I don't really know how to talk to them or what I'm going to say. You're so nervous about it that it stops you from doing it at all. I get it. That makes sense. That's why you need this encouragement, that same word that Jesus gave to his disciples, I believe is for every single one of us. Don't worry about what you're going to say when you get there. You just have to have the boldness that comes from the infilling of the Holy Spirit And then he will give you the words in the right time and the right way to say it. Come on now, don't let your education level or position stop you from sharing your faith. Well, I'm not a pastor. That's what you're here for, Pastor Trevor. You're the one that's supposed to tell people about Jesus. Listen, I am not any different than any of you. We're all the same in the kingdom of God. You know what the Bible says? That there's not either Jew nor Greek, nor slave, nor free, no man, nor woman. There is nothing. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's what it's all about, is that we are all the same. We all have the same calling. We all have the same mission. We're all on the same team. And that's to tell people about Jesus. He'll give you the right words at the right time, but it's all dependent on one thing, and that's being filled with the Spirit of God. He'll give you the boldness and the script. So let me encourage you with this next verse. All right, let me encourage you today. Acts 4:13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. They recognized that they had been with Jesus." It says they were uneducated and common. Somebody say that, uneducated and common. We got any uneducated and common people in the room today? Come on now. Hey, that's me. That's how I feel sometimes, you know? Like, yeah, I got some theological training and stuff, but honestly, a lot of the times, I feel like this is how God gets most of his glory, is by using people that are just them regular church folks. Oh my goodness, let me tell you, some of the best people in the faith don't have a position. They're not a pastor. Some of the people that I look up to the most for my faith, that I learn from the most, do not have the title of pastor. Why is that? Because, listen, they just love Jesus, right? They love Jesus. Uncommon, or common and uneducated. That's not a great thing to be identified as, though, right? You know, like, by the world standards, you don't want to be called uneducated and common. And yet, in the kingdom of God, that's exactly who Jesus used. All 12 of his disciples, uneducated, common dudes. Young guys that weren't good enough to be pupils of the priests and the rabbis. They're tradesmen. They were fishermen. They were carpenters. They were just regular guys like you and I. And so listen to what Paul says about these same people later. He's talking to the Corinthian church, but he's also talking to the disciples, like these leaders in the Corinthian church. And he's also really talking about this is Paul talking to even the disciples, like Peter and John and other people like this. Listen to what he says about them. In 1 Corinthians 1:26, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards." You weren't book smart. "Not many of you were powerful. Not many were of noble birth in the noble families like the high priest. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." I love that. Isn't that great? He's saying, guys, you are common. You were not educated when you first came into the family of God. But yet God chose you to spread the message of Jesus all over the world. You didn't have to be of noble birth. You didn't have to have a lot of money. You didn't have to have it all together. But Jesus is the one that chose you, and you have that calling. And so now if he has called you, he has qualified you. Amen? Come on, somebody. If he calls you to something, he's the one that qualifies you, not by the world standards. You're uneducated? Good. Now God gets more glory. That's amazing. You're just a regular church person? Fantastic. Get in the game. Man, I love sports. I've played sports my whole life, right? I've seen some terrible teams beat some really good teams. Some bad teams that will beat really good teams. Any sport, you might have seen a game like this where you're like, how in the world? Like, you look at the over and under, you look at the, like, who's betting on what? It's like, there is no way that this team is going to win this game. And yet sometimes that they win. How does that happen? It's because they play with heart and they have great coaching. It's because they were more scrappy than the other team, and they had great coaching. You know what I believe? I believe that the Holy Spirit will coach you every step of the way, and all you have to do is be filled with the Spirit of God, be filled with the scrappiness and the boldness that the Spirit of God gives you, right? And then He will coach you along the way and give you the right words to say in that moment. Man, you just got to be bold to grab the ball and shoot the shot and watch the kingdom of God win again and again and again and again and again. Amen? Like, these men had nothing special about them. Uneducated, common, normal guys, except for one thing that set them apart. And I want to put that verse, 4:13, back up there, I believe it is. There it is. They saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were uneducated, common men. They were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. There it is. Can people recognize that you've been with Jesus? Can your friends and family tell when you've been in church and when you've been in prayer? When you've been in those times of worship that you're in communion with God? Can people tell by the social media posts that you make? Can people tell that you've been with Jesus by the way that you act, by the way that you talk, by the way that you treat the waiter at the restaurant, by the way that you love the people around you? Can people tell that you have been with Jesus? Listen, people in the world do not care what we know. They care how we live. They're tired of being lied to by a bunch of hypocritical Christians that say a lot of head knowledge things but don't live out what they believe, what they say they believe. That doesn't do anything for anybody. It doesn't do anything for me. Listen, I don't care what you know. I care how you live. Do you live out the things that you believe? If not, then don't talk to me. Like, I don't want to listen to you. And why do we think that anybody out in this world, we're trying to tell people about Jesus, right? Why would they listen to us if we're not living the things we say we believe? Oh my goodness. It was obvious that they had been with Jesus, that they had been close to Him, that they had communion with Him. So man, let's make it obvious to Hayes County that Radical Church has been with Jesus. Amen. Like, let's make it obvious that we're a people of God that loves God and that sits, that's in prayer, that's believing in faith that God does big things. Man, the presence of God is here, is moving, it's active. I want people, when they walk through these doors, oh my goodness, I wanted to say, like, I just feel different when I come to Radical Church. Like, there's something different going on. There's something special. I keep hearing that time and time again from people over the last few months, even especially, saying every time I walk in the doors, I just feel good, you know? I don't even really know what it is, but like, you know, they're new in their faith a lot of times, and I just keep coming back because I just feel this presence, and I'm like, man, that's the Holy Spirit. Like, that's God working on you. That's what you're supposed to feel. If you don't feel that, means the presence of God is not here, and God forbid that God isn't in this place when we're meeting together. I'd rather shut the doors if God's not here. You know, man, we need the presence of God, and so let it never be said that we are a people that have not been with Jesus. Man, I want people out there to say, man, I don't know what's going on at Radical Church, but those people have definitely been with Jesus, you know? I don't know if it's for me, but those people are in with Jesus, that's for sure. Listen, Acts 4:14, it says, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they're trying to, these high priests and leaders and these noble people are trying to pin that with something that they've done wrong or whatever. They're trying to say that they're doing bad things or that they're faking it or whatever it might be. But the dude that had been lame for his entire life, Acts chapter 3 says that he was over 40 years old and he was lame from birth. And we don't know how long he had been out there. We talked about it last week. I don't know how long he had been begging outside of this gate. But the people definitely recognized him. It says that they knew who he was. Look, since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there's nothing they could, I mean, what else are we supposed to say? Here's the thing about your testimony. No one can argue with it. Your testimony is powerful, guys. What God has done in your life is powerful. People maybe don't necessarily care what you know about God, but they care about what God has done in your life because they can see the difference. First off, I pray to God that they can see a difference. They should. We're in the world, not of the world. We shouldn't look like the world. We're set apart. So they should see a difference when you come to Jesus. The BC, right, before Christ days, you know, after Christ, okay? A lot of people, they say, man, BC, I was some crazy. It was bad stuff, you know. But after Christ, right? And God has really done something in my life. And there should be a distinct difference that they could see that you used to be this and now you are this. What changed? But God, right? Jesus Christ is what changed it in my life. No one can argue with your testimony. God healed the lame beggar, and now he's running around praising God, jumping up and down the backflips, you know? Anyway. They had seen him sitting there for years, and now he's not. Like, what else is there to say? You can't say anything else. I feel like Peter and John in that moment have so much cred, right? They got so much. They got an alibi. This dude is running around, and they all know him. They're like, I mean, you know, like, what else are you guys going to say? And they're just standing there like, yeah, I mean, he is definitely healed, guys. You know, like, I don't really know. It's kind of an issue for us trying to persecute them. So, listen, I want the story to be, and I had stage 4 cancer, but I got prayed over by my church family, and now I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Come on now. You can't argue with that. I used to be hooked on drugs, and now I'm no longer addicted because of Jesus. Man, I was an angry man. I was abusive. I was hurt by my own father, and now I'm a loving husband and father myself, all because of Jesus. Amen. That's going to be some men's story in this place. I used to be this, then I met Jesus, and now I am this, right? That's the power of your testimony. The word says that you overcome by the power of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. That's how we overcome. It's the testimony of Jesus and the testimony about what he's done in our lives. But let me tell you, I'm going to encourage you with something. It's going to sound discouraging at first, okay? But it's really an encouraging thing, all right? I promise. Just wait for it. Maybe you've been discouraged because you've been praying for somebody and you've been trying to reach out and you've been praying, having this boldness to speak Jesus to a family member or a friend, a coworker. I don't know what it might be. And you're discouraged because you've been sharing your testimony. That's what God's done in my life. Man, he can do it in your life too. And I don't know what that looks like. It might not sound just like that, right? But you've been sharing your faith and your testimony and trying to tell them about Jesus. But even the greatest of miracles will not change everybody's minds. They're standing, the high priest, the top Jewish leaders are standing right in front of a verified miracle. Like doctor's orders, verified 100%, everybody knows that this dude was healed because they've seen him. And yet, it doesn't change their mind. Now, I don't know about you, but I would hope that if there is somebody in a wheelchair at Radical Church and we pray for this person to be healed and they get up out of that wheelchair in the name of Jesus Christ, that that would change every single one of our lives, right? It'd be incredible. And yet it won't. It will not. You think, well, how could it not? It didn't hear. It didn't. I know a whole lot of people that have seen incredible miracles and yet they're still living far from God. Because it's not the miracles, it's not the healings and all the stuff that changes somebody's life. Have you been with Jesus? That's what changes your life. So let me encourage you. you know, they're watching this man jump around for, you know, they'd known for years, was unable to walk, and now he is, and it did nothing in their hearts. The Bible says that some people's hearts are just hardened to God. It's hardened. What is our job then in that scenario, in that situation? Because you feel personally responsible. You're like, am I doing something wrong? I've been praying, I've been believing, I've been sharing, and yet they're still just not getting it. At the end of the day, your job is to pray. Your job is to be bold. Your job is to share your testimony and share your faith. You plant the seed. You can water as best you can, but it's God that makes it grow, and they have to let that word take root in their own heart. So you got to give yourself some grace sometimes, man. Jesus went around doing miracles left and right, and they crucified him. Didn't change their hearts. So we get so upset at ourselves sometimes, and I just want to release. There's some parents in this place right now that you are so, how do I put this? You feel personally responsible for your kids not believing in Jesus anymore. But you need to release yourself of that shame and that guilt. You do everything you can, and you give the rest to God. And that's the end of that. The shame and guilt is from the enemy. There's a few parents, I didn't say this in the last service, but there's some parents in here, you need to hear that. Release yourself from that. You could have verified miracles, and you could share it with them. It won't do anything. You pray, and you ask that God will soften their heart. That's all you can do. Amen? This is why God chooses to heal, though. I will say, the reason why God chooses to physically heal people, I really do believe, and why we will pray for healing, we do pray for healing, is because it's the confirmation of the gospel. It's just the confirmation that God loves his people. That's all it is. It's a confirmation that, hey, God loves you. And he says, Peter's like, it wasn't me that did it. I didn't do some special prayer anointing thing or whatever. You know, it was the hand of Jesus. It was God. It's God that heals. We talked about it last week, right? You just get to be the conduit by which healing comes. Like, we get to be the conduit for hope and for healing and for life for people out in this world. Man, it's not anything that you do in particular. It's all because of Jesus. And so the healing is just the confirmation of the words that we say. And so let me read the rest of this passage to you. Starting in verse 23, it says, on their release, oh, which by the way, they basically gave him a slap on the hand and said, hey, you better stop talking about Jesus. You can't keep doing this. We're going to let you go, but you better stop talking about Jesus. You know what Peter says to him? He says, I'm sorry, guys, but I can't help it. I can't help but tell everybody about what Jesus has done. You're not going to be able to stop me. Now, that's some boldness. Going right up to all these important people that have the ability to put them in prison, have the ability to kill them, and they say, hey, please don't do this anymore. Seriously, you're going to end up right back here. And he says, you know what? You can't stop me. I got to tell people about Jesus. I have to tell about what has happened. And so they release them. So on the release, Peter and John went back to their own people, reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. By the way, Pastor Tim can come up. We'll close in just a moment. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Listen, they get home from being in prison, from being questioned, from being persecuted. And what is the first thing that they do? They pray for more boldness to go out and do it again. Oh my goodness, you guys are glutton for punishment. It's like you're looking for trouble. And you know what Peter and John, you know what I feel like they would have said? They would have said, absolutely we are. Absolutely I'm looking for trouble. Why don't you try to stop me? Let's see what happens. The word of God just spreads even more. The more you persecute us, the more the word of God spreads. Why don't you see what they had so much boldness? The word of God says that if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. They were not even worried about their own lives at all. And they gained so much because of it. Oh my goodness, man. And they say, give us more boldness. And then this is so important. It says, stretch out, as you're stretching out your hand to heal. Not my hand. God, I'm not stretching out my hand to heal anybody, but God, as we go and as we speak and as we step out in faith and as I step out in boldness, God, would you confirm, Holy Spirit, come. My goodness. Okay. Spirit of God is here. Thank you, Lord. God, we love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for rain. stretch out your hand, God, not mine. There's nothing I can do. And as I go out and as I pray and as I'm bold and I take the step of faith that you've asked me to take, God, I'm putting myself out there, so you got to be faithful. You know, we talked last week, Peter, he prays, he says, get up and walk, right? If he says, get up and walk, and the dude doesn't get up and walk, he's going to look real stupid. But yet he has faith that God is good on his word, right? And that he knows that he's going to get up and walk. Why? Because he says, as we go out, would you stretch your hand out? As I tell people about you, and as I send that text message to that coworker, oh my goodness, Holy Spirit, would you go before me? Holy Spirit, would you water that seed that I planted? Oh my goodness. We're asking for miracles in the name of Jesus so that people will believe in the name of Jesus. We're common. We're uneducated folk. We don't have any power on our own, but God, you called us, and that's for you too. He has called every single one of you that believe in Jesus to spread this good news. And when you call on the name of Jesus, I want you to say, would you do mighty works to confirm the word, God? Would you bring testimonies, Lord, of your goodness and your faithfulness so that no one can argue and so that no one could boast? Because it's not me, but it's all you, God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit again. I want you to catch that. It says, remember in Acts chapter 2, it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. There was like a sound of a mighty rushing wind, tongues of fire above their heads. Weird, don't know what that looked like, but it happened, okay. And so, and then they went out and they're speaking in tongues and praising God and boldness and everything. And then it says that the same thing happened again. That the house that they were in, let's put the verse back up actually. That last verse, I believe it was. Let me see. There it is. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. It's the same thing that happened in Acts chapter 2. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. What does that tell you and me? It means that you don't get filled one time. You got to get filled again. You pour out and you got to get filled again. You need the presence of God. You need to be with Jesus. They recognized that they were with Jesus. Man, I don't know about you, but there's sometimes I feel empty. Sometimes that I feel weak. Sometimes I feel like I don't have a lot to give. But I'm grateful that the Spirit of God gives me strength to do what I need to do in the moment I need to do it. Today, I'm extremely tired. During worship, I was laying down on the couch in the green room. Not going to lie to you guys. But I've got up here and preached this message because the Holy Spirit of God has given me power to do this today. And I will take a great nap after third service. But right now, I just took the step up on this stage in faith, and I feel so energized. And it's because the Spirit of God is working, and He is my daily bread. Oh my goodness, let me tell you, there's sometimes when you're gonna feel weak, there's sometimes you're gonna be tired, sometimes you're gonna feel, I don't have what it takes. But remember that verse in 1 Corinthians, God chose the weak to shame the strong. Man, He's called you to it. If He's called you to it, He'll get you through it. It says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit again, and you need that. I need that to be filled again and again and again and again and again with the Holy Spirit so that I can have the boldness to speak the word of God to my coworkers, to my family, to the people in my school, to people all around me, man, to the strangers I meet out at HEB or Target or whatever it might be, man. I just want to have faith to speak life over people and hope over people. And this is what I want us to do as we close today. I say this to our staff and to our team, and I've said it to the church a few times, and it's something that's, I'm very passionate about, is the idea of who's your one. Who's the one person that you can reach out to? The Easter's coming up, right? And there's a lot of people that they will not come to church except for Christmas and Easter. We call them CEO Christians, you know what I mean? Christmas, Easter only. So it's good stuff. None of y'all are that because you're here today, so good for you. But there are people that will come on Easter that they will not come any other day of the year to church. And did you know that over 90% of people, if you invite them, if a personal friend invites them to church, they would say yes and they would go? Unbelievers, this is for people that don't believe in God. Over 90% of people said, if a personal friend invited me to church, I would say yes. What does that say to you and me? It means all we need is to be filled with the Spirit of God, get a little boldness about us, and send the text message. Invite them to coffee. Share your testimony, your story. They can't argue with that. And you know what I'm saying? Like, then invite them to church. Hey, man, I don't know, you know, what you really believe about God, but, you know, I've been going to this church. It's called Radical. It's pretty rad anyway. And you know, it's a great community. It's, you know, I just want to see if you guys want to come to Easter. We can go hang out, or if you got breakfast plans or, you know, lunch plans, whatever, we can hang out. But that's cool. I just want to see if you want to come. You can sit with me. We'll sit with you and the fam and bring the kids. Like, they got a good kids thing. It doesn't have to, you don't have to say anything impressive, right? Just let God lead you in that moment. But who's your one? Who's the one? And I'm just going to pray for you that God would put that one person on your heart, that the Holy Spirit would put that person just so in your mind and in your heart where there's just no denying that this is the person that I need to reach out to. You know who that person is. It's that coworker. It's that student. It's that family member. It's that, I don't know, that person that you met at the gym last week. And I would just ask that as the Holy Spirit prompts you, that you would say yes, and that you would have the faith to take that step. And as you have the faith to take the step, that you would just believe that God's good on his word. And he's going to confirm in power, and that person's life is going to be forever changed. And now they're going to have a testimony, and they're going to be able to do that same thing for somebody else one day. Amen. Would you stand with me today? There's one person you need to invite to Easter. And unapologetically, I'm going to ask you to invite people to Easter. I'm unapologetic about it. It's one of the greatest days of salvation in the church that every single year. I'm believing for 100 people to be saved this Easter at Radical Church. 100 decisions for Jesus. You know what that's all dependent on? My message not sucking. I'm just kidding now. I'm just kidding. It's really, it's dependent on you and partnering with the Holy Spirit to invite people to come and to experience the power of God for the first time in their life. They walk into this place, God, I've never really prayed to you before. I don't know what to say right now, but I feel something here. Something's different. And God, I want to give my life to you. I don't even know where to start. Man, we'll help them through it. You'll help them through it. But it all starts with an invitation. It all starts before the invitation. It starts with the boldness to go up to speak to them. Before you get the boldness, what does it start with? Peter, filled with the Spirit of God, said, you got to get filled. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this amazing group of people that are going to step out in boldness and in faith to find the one. Lord, you've already put it on their hearts who that person is. Holy Spirit, you're revealing to them that family member, that friend, that coworker, that student, that person. I don't know who it is, but Lord, they do. And I just pray that you would give them that boldness to reach out, to send that text message, to make that call, to invite them to coffee, to whatever it might be, to share that post on social media. I mean, God, I don't know. You'll use anything, Lord, to bring people to you. And so, God, I ask right now that you would help us to be a people that are filled with your Spirit, that we will be a people that are close to you. And as we are close to you, that people would recognize that we are different, recognize that God has done something in our lives, and say, I want that same thing too. I want God to do something in my life the same way that God did something in John's life, the same way that God did something in Maricela's life, the same way that God did something in this person's life. I don't know who it is. But yet, man, I just believe that God, you want to do something. We want to see 100 people saved on Easter. God, would you use us? God, we're a broken people. We're common and uneducated. And yet you've chosen the weak to shame the wise. You've chosen us, just regular people, to share the word, the good news of Jesus. God, the fact that you would choose to partner with me and with us is mind-blowing already. And we're so grateful for that, that you choose us to be the conduits of hope and healing and life for a lost and broken world. And we are grateful for it. God, let us be up to the challenge today. Let us be bold for you, Jesus. And God, we ask for people to be saved because of our boldness. Would you stretch out your hand to heal? And in Jesus' name we pray. Somebody said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for Jesus today. God is good. Amen. Hey, maybe you don't know how to invite somebody to Easter. You're like, I don't know what to say. Listen, God will give you the words. Don't worry about it. But we will also give you an invite card to help. So we'll give you a little invite card. And maybe that's just the little thing that you need to go out. We'll put some social media posts out. Maybe that's just a little boost that you need to share that with somebody, you know? And so, I encourage you this week and next week, invite somebody. And God bless you. We'll see you next week.